Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to begin a two-part mini-series on getting victory over sin. Victory over sin is a moment-by-moment and day-by-day work. It's not something that you wake up one day and suddenly find that you have no more trouble with sin in your life. You probably already know that, but some people get the idea that if I just pray hard enough or just get somebody to cast this devil out of me or whatever, that they're going to finally once and for all be delivered from sin in their lives. And it's frustrating because that's what you would love to see, but it's just not reality. Now, trouble with sin stems from one of two problems. Now, the first problem is you're unsaved and therefore incapable of getting victory over your sin. That's a real problem. Or secondly, you are saved, yet you don't know the scriptures that you must believe to strengthen your faith in the battle with sin. So let's deal with the first problem first. If you are unsaved, let me suggest that you watch the video on our website called Eternal Life. You can simply type in Eternal Life in the search box, and you'll notice that the video will pop up in one of the returns. Click on that and watch it, 15 minutes. And you'll know how to have eternal life if you don't right now, or you will be assured of eternal life if you do right now. That's a plain presentation of the gospel, and it will help you to get saved if you're not. I mean, getting saved is a matter of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you need to know what to believe. Now, if you need more help than that after you've watched the video, I encourage you to call us. That way we can direct you to other verses that will show you how to be saved. Maybe there's some question that you have, or some doubt that you have, or some obstacle that you have, or some point of resistance that you have, and you need to get through that. We'll be glad to help you if we can. Now, let's say that being unsaved is not your problem. Instead, your problem is you are saved, but you're defeated by sin or by a particular sin. Well, then you have a different thing to deal with. And we have some verses for you to read very carefully. You should meditate on these verses and believe these verses and apply these verses until the Holy Spirit gives you the light and the strength and the faith to live by the verses that you're going to hear today. Now, you'll hear some today, and then you should join us for the broadcast tomorrow and hear the rest tomorrow. It's too much to deal with in one day. Well, here are the verses that are going to help you to get victory over sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, and together let's read verses 15 through 21. All right, Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Paul said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Do you know what you just read there? Sin is in your flesh. You understand, when you got saved or when you get saved, your new birth in Christ didn't get rid of your problem with sin in the flesh. That problem, sin in the flesh, will not go away until you die or until we're changed at the rapture if you happen to be alive when Jesus comes. So you've got to learn how to fight sin, and you've got to learn how to win if you're ever going to have victory over sin. In other words, sin is going to be at some level a constant companion of you in your eternal life as you live in this flesh, because sin is in your flesh. Sin is in my flesh. Sin was in Paul's flesh. And he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth how many good things? No good thing. For the will is present with me. I know you want to do better. I know you don't want to keep going back to the same sin. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Not in the flesh. No, that thing is in you, and it's in me, and it's in all saved people. That sin is in the flesh. And therein lies the problem, because that sin is a constant companion. All right, now here's the second thing. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. You see, I think what you're going to see now is that you're going to learn from the Bible what's going on with sin and how to deal with it in your life, okay? James chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to read 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, watch the next four words, of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We know that because the wages of sin is death. Sin is a killer. That's what sin is. So what happens is you've got this sin in your flesh, right? All right, lust, this sin that's in there, it wants to live, it wants to be, it wants to do, it wants to say. In order to do that, in you is this lust, and this lust gets stirred up, and then it draws you away and entices you, and the lust leads to sin, and the sin leads to death. So this is a serious problem. In other words, you've got to deal with your sin not at the point of commission, but you have to deal with sin at the point of origin. At the root, you see, a lot of times with the problem with people trying to deal with sin is that they're trying to deal with it at the point of commission. Oh, I shouldn't do this. Well, there's a lot that's gone on before you do this. Or, oh, I shouldn't say that. Well, there's a lot that's gone on before you say that. And you've got to get in there and discover from the Scripture that evil concupiscence, that lust that's in there that is expressing itself by drawing you away and enticing you so sin then can go to work on you. You understand? It's in your flesh and it's rooted in lust. Well, the good thing about knowing that sin is rooted in lust in you is that there is a remedy. In other words, you're going to discover in these two broadcasts, what's at the root, where the source of the problem is. But you're also going to learn what the remedy is, what the solution is. So before we go to the solution, let's just make sure we understand. You are going to have a problem. Everybody has a problem with sin in the flesh. and the root of it is in lust. Okay? What do we do about that? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You understand that to lust for something to eat, we call it hunger or appetite, drives you want to go get something to eat, and eating something, particularly the right stuff at the right time, is good for you. When that lust then causes you to be a glutton, all right, now you are into sin. Or when it causes you to eat something that you shouldn't eat, or eat more than you should eat, or any of those kind of things, eat things that you can't eat by faith, now you're in the area of sin. Down inside, when the lust doesn't draw you away and entices you, you get hungry, you eat, and eating is good for you at the right time and in the right quantity and in the right stuff. When that lust entices you and draws you away from good nutrition, then you get in trouble. And suddenly you're eating to feed your appetite. You're not eating to nourish your body. Say, what do I do with that? How do I deal with that? Well, here's one of the ways. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you believe that? You see, a lot of times the problem with having victory over sin is a failure to believe and apply what God says in the Scripture. He said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you believe that? Now, the next verse, verse 17 in Galatians chapter 5, goes on to say, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's a war going on inside of you at all times. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit because the flesh knows that the Spirit will not let the flesh enjoy its lusts unto sin. And the Spirit lusts against the flesh is contrary to the flesh because the Spirit wants to control you to keep you from getting into sin so that you can enjoy the fullness of your eternal life in Jesus Christ. There's a war going on inside of you. And he said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, the Bible shows you that the Spirit leads. The Spirit leads in the life of the believer. Okay? And this is Romans chapter 8, verse 14, by the way, in case you want to know. That's something you get when you get saved. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So he's in there, and he wants to lead. But the thing about the Holy Spirit is his leadership is gentle. He doesn't want to drag you. He simply wants you to follow. And so what you do is you develop a sensitivity, an awareness, a responsiveness to the Holy Spirit's leadership as he begins to lead and you begin to walk in the Spirit and he starts walking you away from the lust of the flesh. That's why he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So this is something that a lot of times people miss. They're looking for ways to get the sin out, and they're missing the positive, affirmative, powerful thing to do, which is walk in the Spirit. Start there. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said it. He expects us to do it. But that's what you should do. So recall what we've heard so far. Sin is in your flesh, okay? It's in everybody's flesh. The root of your sin is in lust. So when you walk in the Spirit and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, guess what? You start getting your sin under control. Excellent. Beautiful. Wonderful. Go do it. Now, the second approach that we want to take to this subject, it has to do with your thought life. Now, this has to do with your flesh. The first part has to do with your flesh and the remedy, walking in the Spirit. The second part has to do with your thought life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, and look with me at verse 7. We are in the middle of a context here, and the context is really good. You should read it. But let's just go right to verse 7. The Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what he's saying? Sin proceeds from wicked thinking. In other words, if you're thinking about it in your heart, you're going to be that thing. You're going to do that thing. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts." Well, a number of other things as well. But the first thing Jesus Christ mentioned in the list of the sins that proceed out of the heart of men, evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. And you have to deal with the sin in your thought life. Over there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24, Paul is talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And he says, put off the former conversation, put off the old man, okay, and get that guy off. That's what you got to do. This is such a great thing. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Well, that's why we talked about the flesh first. But then he says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice, as the old man goes off, you've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and then put on the new man. Why does he say you've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Because the problem is in your thought life. Sin proceeds from wicked thinking. You know, a lot of times what happens is people get the idea that, hey, I can just think about this as long as I'm not doing anything, right? Or stimulate my thoughts with what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing or the company that I keep, and it'll be okay. Mm-mm. If you're thinking about it, eventually you're going to do it. And so as the old man goes off, you've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then putting on that new man is going to actually result in a change in your life. Now go to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. We'll look at a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says this, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace." What did he say? Don't yield your members to sin. In other words, if in your thought life you are conjuring up a sin, particularly one that is a besetting sin to you, one of the ways to win is to not yield to the temptation. I mean, people get the idea that they can imagine a thing in their minds without sinning. But as you saw in the prior verse there from Proverbs chapter 23, there's no way you can do that. The least amount of thinking on a particular sin allows the flesh to build a lust that entices you and draws you away, and it will not be satisfied until you give in. I am convinced that a lot of the problem with addiction to drugs is mental. You're thinking about the high, you're thinking about the euphoria, you're thinking about whatever is associated with that. And the more you think about it, the more you want it. And the more you want it, the more you go until you finally get it and do it. You give in. You think, oh, if I get this satisfied, if I get this satiated, then I'll be okay. No, not at all, because you're going to go back and think about it again. The way to fight is to not even think about the sin for 1 second. Don't even think about the sin for 1 second. In other words, when the thought pops into your head, pop it out. In one ear, out the other. Don't harbor the thing. And then yield to the Holy Spirit instead of to the lustful thoughts. You see, if you're walking in the Spirit and the thought comes in your mind, you simply don't yield your member as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yield your member as an instrument of righteousness unto God by the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Don't yield. Don't think. Don't yield. Are we getting somewhere? Are you beginning to understand this? Don't think about it, and then don't yield to it. Okay, but all of these things that we talk about in the Bible to help you get victory, which is a positive thing, an affirmative thing, over sin, is we can't just talk about not doing something, like not thinking about it or not yielding to it, but we got to add the ingredient to replace what's going on, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The ingredient to add when you are not thinking about sin and not yielding to sin is the ingredient of making your thoughts obey Christ. Make your thoughts obey Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, watch it, to the pulling down of strongholds. See, some of these thoughts have a stronghold in your mind. Pulling down of strongholds, watch this in verse 5, casting down imaginations. See, those imaginations exalt themselves. They get up there pretty high. Pull down the strongholds. Cast down the imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God needs to be brought down, watch it, and bringing into captivity every thought. Not some, not most. Every thought. To the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. All right, what's he saying here? Allow Christ to take control of your mind. Pull down those strongholds. He can do it. Cast down those imaginations. He can do it. And those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Christ can do this. He will bring into captivity, listen, every thought to the obedience of Christ. You say, well, how in the world is he going to do that? You get in the book. You get in the Bible. You see, what you're learning today is coming from the Bible. This is not a psychology class, and I'm not just running around trying to find some verses to back man's philosophy about how to change things in your life. No, this is Bible. When you read your Bible, listen, and obey what God says. That's the key. When you read your Bible and obey what God says, your obedience is fulfilled, verse 6, and that's what revenges all the disobedience of the past and disobedience of the temptations in the present. You're not tough enough to get those thoughts under control, but Jesus is. And he is alive and well. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is above all principalities and powers. He's above you. He's above your mind. Let him get control. All right? Don't think about it. Don't yield your members to it. Instead, get in the Bible and start obeying what God said so Jesus Christ can put the obedience in you that then revenges the disobedience of sin. Final thing, Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. You take out the bad, you got to put in the good. Philippians 4:8 is a template for the thinking that should go on in your life the rest of your life. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things, he's going to name six things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, the virtue is power and its purity. And when you start thinking on only things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, then you are not thinking about things that lead to sin. Do you understand? And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of things that you think about in life. There are a lot of things that all people think about in life that are not in this template of what God says is the right kind of thinking. If you're thinking about the news, you're not thinking about things that are true. You're not thinking about things that are honest, things that are just. Listen, there's all kind of impure thinking, but you're supposed to think about things that are pure and only lovely and only of a good report. And you start thinking about that, you know what happens? Your mind will change. You don't leave room for the devil to use guilt over the past to get you to think about the sin again. That's a clever way to bring up the lustful thoughts and to discourage you. And I'm convinced much of the trouble with sin is in the thoughts of the heart. Victory over sin begins on the inside with truthful, pure thinking. That's what you need to do. So what did you hear today? You heard this. Sin is in the flesh, so walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then sin originates from the thought life, so don't think about those things and get your thought life straightened out by Jesus Christ and by obedience to the Word of God, and you're going to find a change in your life that you're going to like. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.